Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Winding down the year, my friends. Winding down the year. It was a remarkable year. Truly remarkable. Now let's go to the good news. Ready or not, I can stand. I have to report on this one piece of news. Gregory Hart lived for most of the past 2 years down in an alley alongside Ben's Chili Bowl on Union Street next to a trash can. He curled up in a concrete platform. He covered himself with a box. The gang toughs used to assault him with a baseball bat. And the rats would menace him every now and then. But here he relied on a dog and cat, who he called Little Bam and Little Bam Bam, to wake him if danger lurked. Here passerbys called him retard and shouted to him, "Go get a job, you bum." Well, this is where Gregory Hart has lived since Thursday. They moved him. Finally, he was moved. And he's now in a sunny, well-heated, three-room apartment. He has entirely to himself with a stove where he can cook chicken and gravy. And with a blue comforter he chose at Target and a bed where he can sleep as long as he wants without fear of attack. Hart, 53 years old, has spent long chunks of his life on the streets. But now, thanks to a program, and this is in Washington, D.C., under a model called Housing First, groups such as Pathways take people and have taken them off the streets and given them their own apartments, and they figured this out. It costs $23,000 a year to care for people and give them some place to live. $23,000 a year. But it cost the city $40,000 a year to have homeless on the streets. With emergency services and all the other things that take place, it costs about $40,000 to allow for each one. $23,000 a year seems to make sense. Because the homeless need hospital emergency care, they need detox, they need hours of police attention, they need endless trips through the court system. It costs a fortune. But here it is, in Washington, in the past 4 years, they've taken 130 homeless people, about 90 of whom are still in housing. And they take care of them. They put them in apartments. And the landlords like to rent to them because there are social services who are helping the landlords take care of the people as well. So our dear friend Gregory Hart, he still drinks a little bit when he hears voices, but he says his drinking is less because he's safe at home. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? I mean, we threw them all out on the streets, you know. We took the mentally ill. Not all homeless are mentally ill, but we took them all out and we just said, there is no more room for you, and literally threw them in the streets. And now somebody figured out, oh, it's not such a good idea. And so there's something about things that may be, you know, maybe consciousness is working. Maybe that's the way consciousness works. You've got to see that something else, that unconsciousness doesn't work, and then you figure out some way to make it work. It's a funny world we live in. You know, gossip, for example. I was listening to people talk the other day. It's much more powerful than truth. There was a show that was a study that they showed that gossip has a strong influence. Gossip has tremendous manipulative potential, and that gossip has more effect on people than actuality. So if you gossip about somebody and it's a lie, it'll have more potent effect than if you tell the truth. Not because of what you're saying, but because that which is not true seems to gather more energy for one reason or another. And one of the studies they found that within societies where people gossiped more, there was more violence. And in societies where people found it not nice to gossip, there was less violence. So what is gossip? Gossip just simply means talking about somebody's business when they're not there. maybe we might consider all of us curtailing this. And saying to ourselves, if there's something that I would say about somebody that I would not say in front of them, that I wouldn't say directly to them if I could speak to them, and don't mean that in an arrogant way, but is there something I would say about someone that I would not say to them directly? Now, of course, if you're applying for a job and you're two people working in an organization and you want to talk about someone's potential as an employee, that's one thing. But sometimes, just to be the bearer of news, people say things that they just don't really work too well. It hurts a little bit. So today I want to talk to my program. I want to talk to you about two things. I want to talk about Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean, yes. Rowan Atkinson created a character. Do you know who Mr. Bean is? You know, he's good. Rowan Atkinson created this character. Paula Jeck is in the studio with me today assisting me. Rowan Atkinson made this character called Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean is kind of a Chaplin-esque character who gets trapped by all his mistaken plans and things he does. He doesn't speak. He kind of utters sounds. And he's very funny. He does terrific physical comedy, although some of his comedy is at the expense of others. Some of it makes me cringe a little bit. But Mr. Bean is always winding up with some, you know, kind of accident, which is the result of his poor choices. He gets trapped by bad planning. And there was a recent movie called Mr. Bean Takes a Holiday, in which he gets caught through some mistaken choice of his. He gets caught having to walk miles and miles and miles back to civilization because he's just stuck because of a choice he made. He took a bicycle, he rode after something, the bicycle broke, and now he had to come back. He's walking on a road, and what happens? He sees an outhouse on the side of the road, and he said, well, that's a relief. So he goes into the outhouse to do what you do in outhouses, and he finds himself locked in, as Mr. Bean would find himself locked in, and it's this funny kind of scene. He's on a side of a road with nobody around for miles, locked in an outhouse. And it's a wooden outhouse, you know, the way things are built, like a lean-to, and it's kind of, there he is inside it, and he can't get out. So what he does is he stands up and takes the outhouse with him, and he walks down the road. And so you see now an outhouse walking down the road. Now, what's funny about that? It's not what's funny about that. What's poignant about that is that many people I know carry their outhouse when they walk. And I carry mine. And what is our outhouse? Our outhouse is the ceiling, the kind of glass ceiling that surrounds us, that may have come from something, some effect from childhood, or missing a parent, or being without love, or whatever it is that you had as a child, becomes part of the burden that you carry for the rest of your life, but it becomes invisible. You don't see it. So, for example, if you had a father who didn't love you and you spend the rest of your life looking for a father to love you, you're walking around with this shield, or what I call the outhouse. You know, it's just kind of, you're carrying it around. And really, it's invisible. Nobody can see it, but you can't even see it any longer. You think reality is the argument you're having with your boyfriend about not having bought you a Christmas present properly. And the real argument you're having is about why didn't Daddy love you enough to get you to be there for you. So we carry with us these invisible outhouses, you know. And I say outhouse because, you know, it's kind of the place where we drop everything, where all the stuff comes out of us. So what about you, my friends? How many of you carry one with you that you barely know about, is invisible to your eyes, but it keeps coming up over and over again, like loving unavailable people, right? There's a perfect outhouse, if I ever saw one. It means you're carrying around something that looks like it's not there. It looks like it's invisible. But what you're really looking for is that unavailable person in your life, or getting angry at authority. You know what I mean? There are people who always get angry at authority. They're carrying an outhouse around with them. They're carrying a Mr. Bean outhouse. They're walking down the road, and you could see that the person is not right. You could see they're angry and resentful. You could see. Sometimes you see somebody's outhouse, but they don't see that they've got it up. They think they're dealing in reality. They think they're getting angry at you because you're a policeman who wants to give them a ticket for walking down a road with an outhouse on your head. You know, and they say, what's the matter with these cops? They're all bad. You know, all police people are bad. All army is bad. All something is bad. And all bosses are bad. And everybody is bad. And it's, no, you don't have a problem with authority. That's not your problem. It's their problem, see? But you see, now I say that, and I say that. This is Armand DeMille, in case you just tuned in, by the way, with you at the Positive Mind. I say that with great love because I think the outhouse, the thing that we carry, that shield that's around us, which is invisible to us, is very important because it really molds our character. It makes your character. However, I do believe you will live a more powerful life if you could see the burden you're carrying all the time. If you have an issue that you're carrying all the time, if you can't stand authority, the hell with it. You don't have to change your attitude. You could still hate authority, but know that it comes from your relationship with your father. Know that. Think about him consciously so that you don't get defeated everywhere you turn. I know a great artist who is becoming successful. As soon as he became successful, he had to deal with gallery owners. The gallery owners became authorities. He blew it. He was a great artist. They wouldn't allow him in the gallery. They banned him from the galleries because of his attitudes. Now there's a great artist who can't get his work put out there. What happens? Many great artists are like that. You know, they have great difficulties with authorities in general. That's why they become artists. They become very private in their own world. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. So we want to talk about your shield, the thing you carry around. What do you carry? That is the load that is affecting you. And that you can see sometimes and you can't see it other times. This is the question today. And I'm going to use this question to speak with you because as we get near the end of the year, I'd like to talk to as many of you as possible. The telephone number here is 212-209-2900. That's our phone number. We're taking your calls. And today I'm going to be taking your calls to talk about specifically the burden that you carry, but not as a victim, just the one you got. You know what I mean? If you were brought up and it was a certain way, you carry a shield with you. What is this shield that you carry that you sometimes see and sometimes don't see, but affects almost everything you do? And one that is very obvious to other people. For example, if you're an angry sort, if you walk around grumpy, not angry, but grumpy, people see you as grumpy. Do you think that you're hiding how grumpy you are? But when you're grumpy because you carry a load inside of you, and you're doing the very best you can. You don't really feel like you can get out of the house, so the way you get out of the house is you get out of the house like a grump. You just go out there and you keep people at a distance with this grumpy attitude. It works. But that's your outhouse. That's the thing you're carrying. That's the shield over your head. And sometimes when you're out there being grumpy and people stare at you a little bit, you wonder why they're staring because you forget you're carrying this shield, you see? And this shield is aimed at people, meant to keep people either turning away from you or at a distance. And you don't know it. If you're a constant victim of any one thing or another, it's because some way, somehow, you are carrying the shield that keeps you protected from being really connected. Now, why would somebody want to be protected from being really connected to other people? Because I'll tell you, you could be hurt, you know, by someone, but if you carry a shield, it doesn't hurt as much. If you carry no shield at all, it feels horrible. You don't know pain unless you know undefended pain. And the time you knew undefended pain is when you were a child. So you grew up, and now you're going to restrict your pain. You're going to say, I'll just have pain. my own hand. I'll keep the limit of it. I'll make sure nobody really hurts me. Who blames you? Who blames you? 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Can I speak with Armand?
You're speaking with him now.
Hi, Armand. This is Kati.
Hello, Kati.
Yes. I love the topic of your show today. I'm actually very excited that I got through. And I love Mr. Bean, so that's very apropos as well.
Did you see this latest movie of his called Mr. Bean Takes a Holiday?
I did not. I'm actually only familiar with the ones that they show on airplanes that are like a million years old.
Right. It's just it's a funny thing, you know. I mean, they've made him a man who is so self-involved that he does things that are at times harmful to other people. Not really, really harmful, but harmful. He scares people and stuff like that. But there's something about the form of his humor that is just amazing.
It's very psychological. He does a lot with, like, transparent hiding.
Yes.
Stuff like that. So I wanted to share.
So, by the way, Mary, happy and everything to you.
Thank you, Armand. Same to you. I'm actually having a really nice holiday season, very mellow. But I wanted to contribute to the topic because I noticed that for 15 years or so, I always have tense shoulders, and I would think of myself as a person who's very relaxed, but clearly not as relaxed as I saw myself to be. And as my journey over the last few years has taken me into confronting a lot of my own anger and insecurity, I've noticed, you know, my quality of life has improved a lot, but I think my tension in my shoulders is still incredibly strong. So I know there's something I'm not seeing,
but that necessarily good, Kati. Kati, that's excellent. 2 years, yes, you have come a tremendously long way. How did you do it? Did you have any help from a couple of friends?
Of course I did. I had help from you and some of your colleagues.
Which colleague?
Stephanie D'Ambra.
Quite an amazing colleague, huh?
Yes. Listen, and Merry Christmas to her, too.
Merry Christmas to Stephanie D'Ambra, wherever you are today, Kati says. I'm sure she's listening. She always makes sure she listens to the programs. Hey, Kati. So here's the thing. You see, carrying your shoulders like that, one thing you could say is, you see, I can tell I'm still crazy. It doesn't matter. Carry your shoulders like that for the rest of your life. Even if you do, as long as you could spot, I am defending myself, I am protecting myself, I don't yet feel safe, just leave it alone. Leave it alone and don't try to take it away. You see, there's a rule about these invisible things. If you spot them, and then the requirement is you have to rip them out of your heart, they won't let you spot them. If they know you're going to take them away, they don't want you to see them, so they stay invisible. So the whole object here is just to let it be visible. Say, I feel terrific, and I have tension in my shoulders. Not, I feel terrific, but I have tension in my shoulders. So you may walk around with somebody with tense shoulders. Okay, you're quite beautiful anyway.
Oh, thank you so much, Armand. Thank you.
You're a remarkable person. And, you know, I just want to let people know that Kati is one of the most creative people I have ever met. Jeez, I've seen some of the things you've put together. You doing anything new creative, Kati?
Of course. I'm painting right now. So.
You're painting right now?
Yeah.
Have you got yourself up on a website yet?
Yes, but it's under construction right now, so.
Okay, you let me know when it's out there, because I would love people to be able to see some of your work.
Thank you, Armand. I really appreciate that, and thank you for having this topic.
Nice to speak with you, Kathy.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. So that's a very important thing that Kati brings up, that if you can spot, if you know what it is that you're carrying, if you know your burden, you know, you can recognize, acknowledge your burden, and you don't have to change it. Don't have to do nothing about it. You know? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
This is Tony from the Walter Reed Theater. How are you?
Hello, Tony from the Walter Reed Theater. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy I got through. Happy holidays, Armand.
Same to you.
I'm having some difficulty. I'm working now. I work on a Medicare project. I have to go to nursing homes with the proper forms, and I need to get this data completed for my job. I work for a Medicare contractor. I'm running into difficulties, and I'm just feeling very tense, and I just wanted to mellow before I go back. And I'm feeling that.
What is the difficulty that you're running into, Tony? Do you get angry at the people, the administrators, or do you get angry at the people who you're trying to get the information from?
No, I haven't gotten angry at anybody. I've told myself that I'm very good. I just feel nervous. I feel my tension. You hear it in my voice. I'm having difficulty explaining things to my brother and my mother. We're the only caretakers for her, and my brother gets on my case, and I get agitated from my brother.
Your brother gets your case for what?
My brother feels I'm not spending enough time with my mom. I'm not doing enough things for her, and sometimes I can't.
And here's the way it is, Tony. You know, so let's boil it down. What I'm saying is, part of the shield that you carry with you is a man who feels burdened by a brother and a mother who both can't seem to show the love for each other and for you that you need. And then here you are trying to doing a job, actually doing. That's fantastic that you're working, by the way.
And what I do.
The fact that you are working and questioning yourself and carrying that burden with you, you don't have to solve the problem. It's just I am aware that I, Tony, am aware that I may not connect the best with people because I come from a weird family where nobody really ever connected with anybody anyway.
Well, yeah.
And you just carry it with you, and it's fine.
Yeah, I feel the way I feel. I tell myself to be kind to people.
You certainly are. You're one of the kindest people
I've met. Sometimes I think I'm too kind, but I'm working at asserting myself.
And nice
I'm
going,
working,
Tony. Good,
I'm
good
working
to speak
at reading and saying the right words.
Good to speak with you. You certainly are saying the right words now.
Thank you, Armand. I love you.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
212-209-2900. This is Armand. I get a good chance to talk to some people who I've met over the years. You know, I've been doing this now 18 years doing radio. Get a chance to meet thousands of people, thousands, one way or another, they come through. And some of these names, when they pop up, like Tony from the Walter Reed Theater, I remember Tony sat in back of us when we were doing a screening of a movie that I was in, called Home, H-O-M-E, and we had this screening, and all my friends were there, and right back I saw Tony. I think, remember, Tony was carrying a flower, remarkable man, and all the rest of you, Kati, let's see who else we hear from, 212-209-2900, Armand Mill, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand, it's Robert.
Hello, Robert.
I have a terrible connection, but I'm just going to ask a topic-related question, and then I'd like you to answer it off the air,
sure,
if you could. Why do you feel that a lot of people don't see the shield or burden that they carry, but it's very obvious to others? And
well,
do you
before
think
you get off, before you get off the air, tell me about your shield.
I'm actually thinking about my wife's shield right now.
Yeah, I mean, see, now that's your shield. There
possibly.
It is, right there. That's your shield.
Mm-hmm.
Your shield is not to see your own, but to focus on hers. And that's the way the shield works. Sometimes we focus on the other person and the troubles that they have, and we don't look at our own. You have to discover your own first. You really have to discover it. Now, here's the reason. Lamont Cranston is the reason. That has no meaning to you whatsoever, right?
No, I never heard of him.
Yeah, Lamont Cranston was the Shadow. And to the old-timers who are listening, they remember the name of the Shadow, who was a detective mystery character who had a power, you see. The Shadow would be able to solve crimes by not – people couldn't see him. So he would be this guy who would appear and nobody could see him, and so then he could solve crimes. But the Shadow had a power that nobody else knew about. He wasn't invisible. He didn't have the power to be invisible. He had the power to cloud men's minds so they couldn't see him. So therefore, if a person took out a gun and shot in the direction of the shadow's voice, they could actually hear him, because they, even though they couldn't see him, their mind was clouded, he was actually there. So this is the way that the defense system works and the shield works. It clouds our minds so we can't see it. It's not truly invisible because other people see it. But it clouds our minds so we can't see it, so therefore we'll carry it around. Like, for example, let's say that somewhere inside you, you swore to yourself that you'll never love anybody the way you loved your mother. And let's say you made that commitment secretly in your heart, which many young boys make. And therefore, every time you meet somebody else, you're going to find flaws in them, because they won't in any way challenge your perception of your perfect mama. So what you do then is you go around with this being a perfectionist, seeing the flaws in people. But what you don't know it's really about is the shield that you're carrying is that you are committed in your heart to the original source. See? It's very difficult stuff, but you through enough insight and carrying it around, I tell you, I got a few of my own burdens, and I sure carry them, and I wear them like, it's like, okay, I lost a leg during the war. Well, that's just a leg gone. Yeah, I lost a tooth way back there, so that's just a tooth gone. These are just things that we get by with, and we get by. You don't have to fix everything. You just carry it as part of you. Does that make sense to you, Rob?
Yeah, it does. I guess it's a lot easier to notice other people's than to look at your own.
Well, that's the whole point. In fact, looking at others is one of the shields itself. But tell me, if you were to reach down inside, where is your greatest frailty that you carry around?
I guess shyness, yeah, or the inability to confront.
Yeah, you feel shy, right?
Oh, definitely.
And not everybody would know that, would they?
No, definitely not. I think they always have a different idea of me when they first meet me.
That's perfect. There's a perfect shield. You're shy, but nobody could tell because you're carrying it around with you inside you. But then you go meet people for the first time, and they approach you, and you're afraid of making a fool of yourself, you're afraid of making a mistake, and it's affecting you every way you go, you know? And it's like, if I were you, and I were just practicing, I would go meet some new people on New Year's Eve. I would shake their hand, and in my mind, I would say, I'm shy, you know? And then you say, hi, my name is Rob. And then in my mind, I'd say, I'm shy. And it's just kind of cute, because then you start taking the shield and letting the shield be visible. And with that, a lot of growth takes place.
You say afraid of making a mistake, and that's a very powerful statement.
I know what it is to you. I know how much it means to you to make a mistake. I know what it means to you to make a fool of yourself. That's a huge, huge fear.
I do hold others to the same scrutiny, though. It's not like I
forget about it. Once you make yours invisible, you'll forgive everybody else.
Thanks, Mama.
But that's going to take another 10 years, and it's okay. You could spare 10 more years. How old are you now, 36?
No, 41.
41, you could spare 5 more years.
I guess. Nice. Thanks a lot, and happy holidays.
Same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Here it is, this is us. This is the way we are. This is, that's what it's about. It's all about kind of seeing who we are and accepting who we are and letting ourselves be as broken as we are. It's okay. We don't have to pretend, the whole idea. I mean, we do have to pretend to the outside world, but not to ourselves. That's what I think is the real gem. This is Armand DeMille. It's WBAI 99.5 FM. I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. I want to play a little music for you. And I'll do this break all by myself. And this is Armand DeMille back with you at The Positive Mind. I have a little music for you today, a little something special.
Here is your crown and your your seal unrings, and here is your love for all things. Here is your cart and your cardboard and piss. Here is your love for all of this. May everyone live, may everyone die. Hello, my love, and my love goodbye. Here is your wine and your drum.
Here it is, my friends, and this is Armand DeMille with you. You're listening to Luciana Souza, L-U-C-I-A-N-A, Souza, S-U-Z-A, playing Here It Is. Very appropriate for our topic today, the Mr. Bean Outhouse. Here it is. In case you just tuned in to WBAI 99.5 FM, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Many programs like this have been on the air, and if you go to thepositivemind.com and you go to the archives, you can hear all the old programs. I mean, we don't take them down. So they're there, and you could listen to them, and including my interview with Sonny Rollins, which was just recently, you know, jazz musician, just perfect, beautiful stuff. And some of the guests that I've had on the air. Yesterday I had Alan White on the air, and he was talking about taking care of people when they're elderly and they're infirmed and stuff like that. And today I'm talking to you about the shield that you carry, which I have great respect for. Now, I described how, you know, Mr. Bean in his movie runs into an outhouse, and there is this outhouse that he goes into, and then, of course, he can't get out of it, so he stands up and he's walking down the highway with it. And there was an end to this. Mr. Bean was not so stupid because he couldn't get out of the outhouse. What he did was he walked enough along the road so that eventually he gets hit by a car. And that smashes the outhouse, and he walks away unscathed. So that's what some of us do. You know, some of us walk around carrying our shield is all around us. We think it's invisible, but it's an outhouse walking down the street. It is. You're carrying your shield of misery, depression, anger, guilt, shame, you know, whatever it is. You're carrying it, which is you have every right to carry. You should wear it as a badge instead of as an outhouse. But what we do is we think it's so shameful to have these idiosyncrasies, these things that we have that are silly, our jealousy. We're ashamed of our jealousy. We're ashamed of our anger. So we get outside our outhouse when nobody's looking, and we paint it with graffiti. You know, we write things on it like the word love, and we'll put a flower on it, and we'll put other things to make not anybody, so that nobody will realize this is really our outhouse that we're carrying around. So the graffiti doesn't disguise it very much because people still know it's your outhouse. It's okay. 212-209-2900, we're talking to you about your own cover-up, the thing that you carry with you, and how, instead of denying what it is or admitting what it is, you don't have to admit it to other people. You just need to admit it to yourself. Not even need to admit it, you could admit it to yourself. What you see becomes visible, obviously, and what you see becomes less invisible, obviously, and your choices are not based any longer on this invisible shield that you have, which forces you to act out in the world everything that you don't do well. Hey, so we're going to take more calls. 212-209-2900. I am going to be with you on New Year's Day, by the way. On Tuesday, I am coming in to broadcast just to be with you. I love doing it on holidays. Couldn't make it on Christmas. But on Tuesday, I definitely will be here. So if you have a chance, be sure to listen in. I'll try to kick off the new year with some kind of something special. You know, I realize that there is nobody, everybody objects to Christmas, Hanukkah, they object to these holidays, Valentine's Day they object to, Thanksgiving Day they object to because it's the killing of the, you know, and Halloween they even object to because it scares too many people. July 4th is no good because they use explosives and it kind of celebrates war. And so there's no celebration that's okay except New Year's Day. Now, nobody says anything about New Year's Day. Nobody says it's an artificial holiday. Nobody says I know people can make up stories. You know, people with outhouses can make up a lot of stories. You can make up a story about it, but here it is. It's coming up. It's the end of a year. The marks the new year. I don't care how you celebrate it. If you're alone, you're not alone because you're with me. If that stroke of midnight, you want to do something, go to the Roadrunners Club in Central Park. And if they're doing it, they set off a small little amount of fireworks and join the gathering that's in there. It seems to always be an okay event. But you may have objections to fireworks because I got to understand that too. They pollute the air. They make explosions. But they're pretty. So what you want to do for your new year is you want to kind of look, and I'm going to give you a phrase that I got from all people, believe it or not, Christian Bale. I can't imagine where the source of it was. Whatever is full, empty. Whatever is empty, fill. That's all. Whatever is full, empty. Whatever is empty, fill. Interesting, don't you think? Write it on a mirror. Whatever is full, empty. If you got too much of something, get rid of a little of it. You know, too much pride, have a little less pride. Too much money, give a little money away. Too much property, give a little property. Too much stuff in your house, get rid of some stuff. Whatever is full, empty it out a little. Make some more room. And whatever is empty, where you're missing something, give it a little fill. 212-209-2900. Going to take another call right now, Reggie. Thank you very much. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Armand?
Yes.
Yes. Does a compulsion neurosis fall within the subject at all?
You want to talk about a compulsion neurosis. Yes, it is. Absolutely. You know, a compulsion neurosis is obsessive compulsive. A compulsive neurosis is a perfect shield. Which one is yours?
In what way?
What?
In what way?
What is your obsessive compulsion? What is your
hand washing.
Hand washing. It is a perfect, perfect shield. Because you can't stop washing your hands. You can't get away from it. And what happens with this shield, because you think, see, in your mind, you think you're dirty, or you think you can be dirty, right? Or your hands can be dirty. Is that right? Or you could touch something that's dirty. Is that true?
Yes, in every area.
In every area, yeah. So the shield is this perception about being dirty. The cover-up is the compulsion to wash your hands over and over again. And it's getting underneath it to the shield that becomes very important. I'll tell you a story about a woman I know who was afraid to take a shower. And she couldn't take a shower because, believe it or not, now this is pretty serious stuff. Whenever she took a shower, she saw the Andrea Doria, believe it or not, ship coming out of the fire, coming out of the shower head, about to crush her. So she had panic reactions every time she took a shower. After a little analysis, you know, and some time she spent with it, she realized that whenever she took a shower, she loved the way the water trickled down her naked body, and she felt aroused by it. So to protect herself from being aroused, because she had such an anger about her own sexuality and such a resistance to it, so protect herself from that, she invented this fantasy about the shower so she would never take a shower. Now, I think that the kind of thing you're talking about is similar to that. You create something because it's covering something else. Is that helpful to you at all?
Yes, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling in. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
How are you?
What's your name?
My name is Anna.
Anna. Hello, Anna.
And I want to say thank you, God, for us having you on this radio program. And I have friends that feel the same way.
You have friends who did friends in America? You know, I've got people, we've got now people in different countries who have formed clubs, positive mind clubs, that are really cute. And they are, they're so grateful to all of us. I mean, you too. You know, if we didn't have your audience, we couldn't have a show.
Well, I'm in Manhattan.
Yeah, that's great.
So listen, Armin, this is the deal. I'm told by insightful friends and by some shrinks that the reason I won't finish my writing, and when I get close to success, I stop because I'm very angry at my parents.
Uh-huh.
And I can't stand this because these people are under the ground for years, and if it's true, it makes me feel bad, but how do I get out of this situation?
Okay, now do you realize this, or do you believe this to
be true? No, I don't believe this, I don't feel it, but I'm told by too many times I do mess up right at the end.
Okay, so now we have a theory that the reason you mess up at the end is because in somehow it's related to your anger towards your parents. Now, you must have tried to uncover that. You went to a therapist and he said, show me, right?
Yeah, and I know I'm angry. They were alcoholics. I mean, part of me hates part of them, but I don't feel it.
I know, but the thing is you don't feel it. See, now that's very important. If it is true and you don't feel it, then the shield you're carrying is the shield against feeling it, which I don't blame you for not feeling it. You know, as a kid, if you felt your outrage at your parents, it would have been annihilatory. You couldn't have survived. Your best defense was not to feel it. Who blames you? And your friends are telling you, you got to feel it, and if you feel it, then you'll be able to finish your writing.
Right.
Let us say that the new shield is that I do not feel it, and that's my shield, and just live with that one. Accept that one. Accept the fact that I have it, and I don't feel it, and that's my protection, and that's the way I'm going to be.
But I'll never finish anything, and I want to be successful.
I'm not so sure. You see, once you accept that you do not feel, and that not can't feel, but do not, that you shut that off, and that's fine.
Then you get free? Once you accept that?
Freer.
Freer, okay.
Freer.
This is a hard one.
And stop, yeah, and stop changing, just stop trying to change for what your friends tell you to change, because, you know, it's just a theory. You know, maybe it's about your parakeet. Who knows why you can't finish things?
Yeah, maybe it was Roy Rogers. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it was Roy.
I used to have a crush on him.
You had a crush on Roy.
And he never responded.
You know, I met him once.
Really?
I have a picture of me being 5 years old looking at
with Roy Rogers.
Yeah. Yeah, with Roy Rogers, of all people.
You're saying just accept it and see what happens.
Not just accept it. Wear it.
Oh, you mean embrace it?
Embrace it.
Walk with it.
Yeah, walk with it.
Okay.
Walk with it like a smile, okay?
Okay, dig.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, Anna. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You know, I want to talk about some of these answers. Dr. Phil and all the other people, we have lots of answers. We have perfect answers. We're so perfect. We're just so ready to give you answers for things. It's all theory. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's not true. Sometimes it's something else completely. I mean, this year I've learned so much about neurochemistry and the brain and the way the mind works and stuff that I thought last year I don't think anymore this year. So none of these theories have cut in stone. Just remember it's only a theory. Try it on for size. See if it fits. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, is this me?
Yes, this no, it's me.
I can just barely hear you. Is there any way to wrap it up?
This is about as good as we can get. That happens.
Okay, Armand, thank you very much. I'm Hoot, a.k.a. Tim. And
hi, Tim.
I belong to AA, Alcoholics All Over the Place. And I love your shows. I've been talking to a lot of people in the programs, in the 12-step programs, about, you know, how you say, you know, wait 22 minutes.
Yeah.
And whatever's bothering you should be finished, you know, when you're waiting, like, in a dentist's office or something.
Right, exactly.
I thought that was terrific.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad I'm very glad that you could bring that to the programs, because I never want to feel at odds with 12-step programs, even though some of the times, you know, I'll see this. I just think they're the most, most valuable thing. And you know what I think is the most valuable thing about 12-step programs?
Yeah, well, I'm not doing it alone. I got to have a whole community there. It's not so crazy in there.
You have a family.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the absence of family is probably the greatest burden that people carry nowadays, to have no connection, you know, none. You get to a certain point, even if you do have family you can't talk to, a family you're at odds with. When you get into AA, or any of the 12-step programs, you get an automatic environment of acceptance, of some kind of acceptance, not acceptance of your bad behavior, just you're a person and you're here, an acknowledgement. That's so important. It helps so much. that whatever battles you have to fight, you feel like you've at least got somebody on your elbows, you know?
I changed seats on the Titanic 9 times. I had the addictive personality, you know?
Sure.
So I ain't going no place anymore. I called before. You know, you told me that I was triangulated between my mother and my whatever, and my mother spousified me, and that's what you felt. And I listened, you know, I was, I don't know if there was damage done in my, as a very young person, I don't remember it. I don't mm-hmm. remember, and I'm 74 now. But anyway, that's another issue. Anyway, you know, I want, are you going to do that thing? You usually go on New Year's Eve over to the park where they run or something?
Well, sometimes I don't go, but I really, when I do go, and people I know go, they like it a lot, the Roadrunners Club, yeah.
Yeah. That's usually on a Sunday, I think, huh?
No, I think they do it on New Year's Eve. I think
what time, you know?
Monday night. I think it's around 9 o'clock.
Oh, great.
But call the Roadrunners Club. Just look it up. And
I don't run anymore.
But you don't have to run. You can walk. You can sit outside the park and look up.
All right. Now I had a new little slogan. Listening is an act of love.
That's beautiful.
All right. See
you. Thank you. Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. It's great to be able to get some of you callers in here. Nice to hear from you, Tim, Anna, and the rest of you. Hi, Armand DeMille, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Good.
It's Jim from Long Island.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing real good.
Good, good, good. Could you talk just a little louder for me, please?
Sure, absolutely.
Good, good. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, and I think I know what my shield might be. But I think it might be my sense of humor, and I'll try to get everyone to like me all the time.
Uh-huh.
Because I have a big fear of conflict.
And you have a fear of conflict, and you walk around with a fear of conflict. So the graffiti that you painted on your outhouse was a big smile.
That's right.
See, so everybody sees it, and they smile back with you, and they think what a loving guy you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I think you're hiding the most? I think that the thing you hide the most is the thing I see in you every time I meet you. Whenever I see you, I say to myself, here is a man of power. Here is a man who can do a great deal because you have the charm, you have the intelligence, you have the good looks, you have all the stuff to really be a person who makes an effect in the world, and you do. I mean, I know, I've watched you, because I've run into you casually, you know, and I see that no matter who you touch, they're better off for having met you. That's a lot of power. Now, if you take that, and the part of that is that you don't want conflict, and that's part of the outhouse that you carry around, you're afraid of contact, fine. Conflict, that's fine. Because the rest of you really does wonderfully in the world.
Well, I'm trying to get okay with my outhouse now.
Sure. Aren't we all?
Yep.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Jim. Nice to speak with you again.
You too, Armand. Thank you very much.
Okay. This is Armand DeMille with you at Deposit of Mind. I'm going to be leaving you, my friends, with a little music. And when I get back, it'll be New Year's Day. Be sure to tune in. If you want to hear this program, you could go to thepositivemind.com or WBAI.org, and they have the archives up. Nice to talk to you. Speak to you next year. And you need a helping hand. And nothing, well, nothing is going right. Close your eyes. And soon I will be there to brighten up even.
and you are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free community radio WBAI in New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM.